I would like to welcome the AG's office to this very important meeting this afternoon. When it comes to the AG itself, I like whenever I look at the first page of what you speak about. You speak about your reputation, you speak to your product, and you speak to your mission. Although I would have preferred that the province promised you be a commitment, we commit, that the Auditor General of South Africa, you speak out your mandate. And your mandate is to strengthen our country's democracy. Big words. By enabling oversight, accountability and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. And we know that when it comes to democracy, the democratic society we live in, democracy is its cornerstone. We know when it comes to the AG, because I always feel these little things are passive. When it comes to the ANC-led government, when it comes to religion, you are chapter 9, and your functions are spelled out in chapter 9 of the Constitution, I won't say where, of South Africa. And what I like is that you are an independent body, and therefore members, when it comes to the Auditor General's report, we normally get it within this meeting. We don't get it before the meeting. They don't give me a report before the meeting, this report. They'll come and speak to you about what is wrong. But they won't give me this report as it is like this before the meeting. And I'm happy that you're going to speak to us about the audit outcomes. Because we oversee the Department of Basic Education. And you oversight them when it comes to their audit report. But what I'm happy about you today, members, normally don't bring the whole department, because it's your day, it's not the department's day, to this meeting. We do have the DDG here, we're going to introduce ourselves, and we have the CFO. Because the CFO is very important when it comes to this audit report. Because functions are delegated by the DG, not the function, the power, to the CFO. Because a function is allocated, but there's a delegation of power that takes place. And that is according to the PFMA. Then the DG also delegates to our internal audit committee. And you know, and it's the first time that we're having them now meet. And we'd like to welcome the internal audit committee. They introduce themselves. We do have the chairperson here, they'll give his name. And I believe he is a CA. And we have a member here, and I believe he is a financial manager. So when it comes to the internal audit of the department, we know people, we have people there that know accounts and are more than us. So those are my few welcome remarks to you. When it comes to the meeting itself, we're going to ask the Auditor General to speak to their report. You gave us two reports. And I think with you, 20 to 30 minutes to speak on it. And it must be complete within that time, because I'm sure members would like to interrogate this report, ask questions on it. Llewellyn, quickly before I step off the subject, are there any apologies?
Chairperson, none received.
Fine. We'll just start with the introduction. We'll do the members first, and then after the members, we'll speak to the officials that we have with us. Then we're going to ask the Auditor General's office to introduce himself, that we know exactly who we're speaking to. And then once we did that, then we'll go over to the DTG of the department, she introduced, and then the CFO, and we go to the internal audit. And then after that, our visitors that we have present. And the visitors that I see here today, we know them, and it's equal education, but it would be good if you introduce yourself again to everyone. Thank you. I'm Hofmolgers, and I am the chairperson of this committee, and I would like to say that I am from the Eastern Cape, and I can smile when I say it. Thank you. Honourable member.
My name is Crosley Moni. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee, an adult South African. Go ahead.
Yabonga sikhalo sanibona igama lami nguNomalungelo wakagina ilunga laleli komiti elibhekene nezemfundo esemazingeni aphansi.
Yes, afternoon everyone. Just to say to Honorable Point, that tribal noise may be international as well. I'm Silence Makube, a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Tumela, Imi, Imashishi, Lilula Kubiki, Elevo.
Actually, ni foni baga mushwana foni short for Florence F-O-N-I Mwamabasu Ifanakaim and to the family is mushwana. I am a member of this particular committee and I hail from Zanin in Lebong. Thank you.
Sanbonani lo okunumayo uchabile tripi ngubeli maluleka ntoka zafumandi yari mamba team ilunga lale committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Harun Bojale, a member of this committee. For sure, with a bigger smile coming from KwaZulu-Natal. Thank you.
Good afternoon, all. My name is Annette Lovemore, also from the Eastern Cape, and also a member of this committee.
My name is Donald Smiles. Ek is ook van die Ooskaap en ek is 'n lid van hierdie komitee. Baie dankie.
My name is Thank you, Chair. My name is Lusaka Debe. I'm a member of parliament. I'm a visiting member to this portfolio committee as I'm serving the High Education Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dennis Barney, Content Advisor for the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon. I'm Jablan Ngobo, Researcher for the Committee.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon. My name is Linda Stofile, a researcher for the Select Committee.
Good afternoon. I'm Sindhu Sandabe, a Committee Assistant for the Portfolio Committee.
Good afternoon. I'm Executive Secretary to the Chairperson on the Portfolio Committee. Good afternoon, Chantal Bo from the EMC Study Group on Basic Education.
Afternoon, everybody. Lewin Brown, Committee Secretary for the Portfolio Committee.
Thanks a lot for that. And I would like to welcome the Honourable Khaleba into this meeting. And I'm not sure whether I'm going to allow you to ask questions, but we'll see as we go along. The Auditor General.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon. My name is Godfrey Gade. I'm the Senior Manager responsible for the Audit of the Department of Basic Education Nationally and the Education Sector Board. I have my audit team with me here. I will start with Mr. Bose Masako, Abdul Patel, William Madema, and Zaneda Gedo, who's from our Parliamentary Liaison Office. Thanks, sir.
Thanks a lot for that introduction. The
Malik. Malema.
DDG.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Vivian Hardelfer, DDG at Basic Education.
Good afternoon, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Ntsetsa Malele, CFO, DBE.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, members. My name is Stefan Sintole. I'm the chair of the audit committee of the Department of Basic Education. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Fabi Fruerman. I'm also a member of the audit committee of the department.
Thanks a lot for that. The introduction's right at the back. Oh, yes, I'm here, the two other officials of the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Liwan Madaliazen in the DG's office. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair and members. I'm Randall van den Heffer, PLO of the Minister of Basic Education.
Hi, the three visitors at the back.
Good afternoon. I'm Hobolan Silibalo, Parliamentary Officer for Equal Education. Good.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. My name is Adam Sack. I'm also from Equal Education, and I'm from the Western Cape.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Catherine Bull, also from Equal Education.
Thanks a lot. What we're going to do now, we'll give over to the AG. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. First, before we commence with the presentation, let me just reinforce what the audit office is responsible for. And that is in terms of the Public Finance Management Act and the Public Audit Act. We are required to report on three things. Fair presentation of the financial statement, conclusion on predetermined objectives, that is performance information, and the third one is compliance with present regulation. So I will be addressing all those three aspects. Yes. This slide explains the audit opinions. This is talking to fair presentation of the financial statements. We can only issue three audit opinions, basically. The first one is unqualified. And from the audit office, how do you define an unqualified audit opinion, which we see as a clean audit opinion? That's one highlighted in green there. It's an audit opinion whereby the financial statements are unqualified and there is nothing else to report on the audit report. No methods identified with or compliance with local regulations, and there's nothing that had to be reported also on predetermined objectives, that is performance information. The other one, we have financial unqualified with findings. What we are seeing, that is not a clean audit report in a sense that there were methods that were significant enough to be elevated to the audit report. We have a qualified opinion whereby financial statements as a whole are not free from material misstatements, whether in aggregate or individual. We are saying a particular balance of the financial statement we are not satisfied with from the financial audit perspective. We have an adverse opinion where we say it basically disagreed with management. We are saying financial statements are not fairly stated. And we have a dilemma of opinion that are right there where we are saying the possible effects of the financial statement, the possible effects of unexpected misstatement couldn't be within the expression of opinion. Basically, we are saying, given what is presented to us, we distance ourselves from the financial statement. on predetermined objectives. It is a process. Disclaimer opinion. Basically, we are saying the probable effects of financial statements, undetected misstatements, and statements that are undetected, we cannot conclude whether they are significant or not significant, the limitation of scope. What is presented to us for which we can't draw a conclusion from it. Therefore, we distance ourselves. We are not expressing an opinion. We disclaim the opinion. Findings arising from predetermined objectives, performance information, all entities and departments are required to report against predetermined objectives, which service delivery, you normally find that on the service delivery tables in your annual reports. We started with the process of auditing performance information in the financial years 2019, and it has been a phased-in approach where each year we intensify our audit procedures and make an assessment whether are we at the point where from the audit office we can express an opinion on predetermined objectives. Currently, we do not express an opinion in the audit report, but we indicate in the management report presented to management what the conclusion would have been if we were to express an opinion on predetermined objectives in the audit report. And our audit is based on a predetermined criteria by the department. So what is said on the annual performance plan and strategic plan is exactly what is audited. Findings arising from the audit of compliance with laws and regulations. The slide is not presented, it's just background, it's not given to the committee members. Yes. Findings arising from the audit of complaint. Findings arising from the audit of compliance with laws and regulations. As part of annual audit, we also have to audit and report on compliance with laws and regulations by all our auditees. And as laws covers the activities that auditees are charged with on behalf of the citizens of the country, the limits or restrictions to such activities, and the overall objective to be achieved by these laws and regulations, and how they will process rights of individuals, citizens of the country are protected. With that background, I will then share move to the main presentation. We should all be having two copies, the presentation slides and the word, a document labeled as PC briefing note, portfolio committee briefing note. I will be presenting from the presentation slides and there is reference to the briefing note, the word document. I will not be looking to the reputation promise of the AJC. I thank Chair for doing that. She said it very well. I couldn't have said it better. We will be addressing 8 issues, portfolio audit outcomes, focus on previous commitments, recommended commitments for clean administration, key focus areas on the audit, expenditure management, sector audit outcomes, pyramid of accountability and the combined assurance level, level of assurance in governance. Sorry. I will start with the basic education, and I have a comparison for 2 years, 2011 financial year and 2013-14 financial year. For both years, the department received an unqualified audit opinion with findings, either on compliance and or predetermined objectives. And there were findings, as indicated from predetermined objectives, and on compliance, the nature of the findings revolved around expenditure management and performance management. Expenditure management also encompasses compliance with laws and regulations relating to procurement and supply chain management. Umalusi, in the prior year, they had a finding that affected retirement objectives. In the current year, there are no findings at all on retirement objectives. They received an unqualified audit opinion with no findings. This is what we define as a clean audit report. Unqualified with nothing else to report in the audit report. Says they are in the same position as last year, where they received an unqualified audit opinion with findings on treatment objectives, and there were findings related to compliance with laws and regulations. The LRC, we are still in the same process last year, financially unqualified with findings and compliance findings related to expenditure management, contract management, revenue management, strategic planning, and performance management issues, and there was a governance issue also on the audit committee, and there are some findings reported on treatment objectives. During the audit, we also focus on the fundamentals of internal control, addressing the aspects of leadership, financial and performance management, and governance. And the red arrows facing down is an indication of a regress on those fundamentals of internal control. The horizontal yellow arrow is an indication that there was no change from last year. Things are still the same as they were. The green arrow facing up is an improvement from the prior year. And we see only one green arrow on UMAR, which is because there was a finding that was elevated to the audit report last year on retirement objectives. There's nothing to say. Hence, we have a green arrow facing up. For the department, red arrows facing down doesn't necessarily mean that things are falling apart, but we are saying the nature of the audit findings that were raised was a concern from the audit perspective, and we encourage management to address those findings. Things are still in the same boat as they are. The yellow, they indicate that now they're not doing well. They're not moving. The situation is not becoming better. They're still in the same boat as they were last year. And the same applies to ERC. This slide talks to the commitments that were made in the prior year. And these commitments were made with the view and objective to make sure that the department addresses the control deficiencies that existed that were identified through the audit process, and the objective was to make sure that the situation becomes better. And I must say, significant progress has been made by the department in addressing these issues, but there is always a room for improvement. It is inherent in the audit process that there will be audit findings raised, but we are saying let us work on the control environment to ensure that it's not such that these issues are presented and detected by management and not through the audit process. This let's continue to the next page. You will see that we also have three commitments that were made by the department on the next slide, and all of these are still in progress, and again, I emphasize that a significant progress has been made by the department to address this, but we are at a point where we are saying the control environment is of such that the audit will not pick up any deficiencies in the process. On the next slide, we have recommended commitments for clean administration, and we are not saying the department is not doing this. We are saying to ensure that we are on the right path towards clean audit reports, as I defined it, financial and qualified, with no other findings to be reported in the audit report. This needs to be intensified, needs to be strengthened within the department, and we believe from the audit office that if the department addresses this adequately and we put measures that are sustainable, not only to address audit findings but to address root causes, the department will be on the right path to clean audit outcomes. Speaking to the key focus areas, and we do this in all departments, entities, in all spheres of government: supply chain management, audit of procurement objectives, human resources management, information technology controls, and material errors in the financial statements. You will see where we have the red blocks. These are the areas that these entities need to pay more attention to. If these issues are not addressed, they can have a severe impact on the audit opinion, and we guarantee that if these are not addressed, the department will not move to a point where we are saying we are moving to the clean audit outcomes, audit report with a qualified audit report with no other findings. The only entity on the basic education portfolio that is currently doing this is Malusi. Last year, they had a challenge. I agree, but the level of commitment that they said they will address the environment to make sure that those findings are not recurring, and they've done exactly that. Thus, they are sitting at a point where everything is clean, and we are saying there are no matters to be reported. AOPO is Audit of Procurement Objectives, so performance information. Yes. Audit of Procurement Objectives. says, yes, the SMS reported on audit of retirement objectives, and we are saying there is no improvement, and the similar finding was reported in the prior year. Education level management concerns, they have issues with financial management, and there were also material assessments to the financial statements that were as a result of the audit effort. And the view here is, if it was not for the audit effort, the financial statements would not have been fairly presented. Expenditure management focusing on irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We commend management that there was no fruitless and wasteful expenditure at the National Department of Basic Education. However, we still raise a concern of the expenditure identified of 82 million rands, and this was purely a result of procurement processes on infrastructure related projects. We're talking to ASID here, who Madison says nothing to be reported on the European Protection Display expenditure, and we also again raise concern on the ELRC for recording 1.5 million irregular expenditure. It went down by 1 million from the prior year, but we are saying even if it's 1.5 million, it might seem immaterial, but to the size of the NGQ, ELRC, this is significant to them. And looking at protection wasteful expenditure, we are not taking raising them into 1,000, but we are saying it is material in nature, we should not be carrying protection wasteful expenditure. The next slide talks to the sector audit outcomes. And it is only one slide talking to the sector audit outcomes. And we only have one slide to share because at some point later in the year we will come to brief the committee again on the education sector report where we will go in depth to this. But this is a high level summary of how the education entities performed, looking at retirement objectives, compliance findings, and the audit outcome financial audit. There was only improvement in two entities, Eastern Cape, which moved for the first time in many years from a disclaimer to at least a qualification. We commend those that were involved in assisting the Eastern Cape province, and the Western Cape, which was sitting with a qualified audit opinion, they said to financial unqualified with audit findings. The rest of the entities within the education portfolio remain the same, provinces and the national department. For all entities, there were issues reported on compliance with laws and regulations, implying that there were not clean audit outcomes within the sector, and only two provinces did not have significant findings on pre-determined objectives performance information, which is a slight improvement from the prior year if I only compare audit of performance information. But overall, there is only improvement in two entities within the sector. Talking to the pyramid of accountability, and I know we have presented this slide to this committee chair, and we reinforce the intention of this slide. We are saying we are driving a culture whereby all the triangles at bottom work effectively as intended. We're talking to issue of skills, competence, and ethics, integrity within our departments and entities, daily and weekly, monthly financial and performance disciplines. We are encouraging that our entities prepare financial statements and related disclosures on a monthly and quarterly basis. It should not be one of those issues that are left for AM and start preparing our accruals disclosures. If you look at most of the entities within government, material adjustments are raised from the disclosures and not from the income statement issues. So we are driving a culture whereby even the government does not have a system, an automated system, report on disclosures. We need to have processes within our departments to make sure that at any given point we can report on our disclosures. Information is also very important. I'm talking to the embedded systems of IC underpinned by policies and procedures. We have to have the right policies also addressing information technology. And talking to the deliverers of the department, our policies must be offered so that they support the mandate of the department. And as and when we develop policies and procedures, we just need to make sure that there are no gaps in the system and they will yield the intended results of the mandate of the department. monthly financial reporting, I spoke to monthly financial reporting and interim financial statements. This is one thing that we encourage our institute that every 6 months they present the financial statements to us and we do an interim audit on the financial statement. And on that interim audit, it is basically sort of a warning or raising red flags to our entity saying, if this is the situation at the end, you are possibly you will possibly be sitting with this type of an audit opinion. At least then our entities have then following 6 months to make sure that corrective action is taken. Also understanding of requirements as well, cause and effects. This is something that we also encourage our entities to make sure that there is alignment between the deliverables on the strategic plan of our entities and also the deliverables in the IPC. We encourage that our IPCs be constructed in such that they support the strategic plan. You cannot be sitting in a situation where your strategic plan deliverables are something else, and when you look at the IPC, your IPC does not talk to what you are expected to be delivering. So there should be that link. And when you assess performance, it should be assessed in context of what have you done, what is your contribution towards the achievement of the strategic plan. And we also encourage our entities that it does not only happen at the executive level, it must be cascaded down to all levels within our entities and departments. Accountable leadership committee and internal audit, these are very important structures that are forming the link between those triangles at the bottom and the triangle at the top, the legislature, scopes, portfolio committees, and executives. This should be giving necessary level of assurance. When information is reported to the parliament, it must be of such that it has gone through that level to test the integrity of that information and the ability of that information to ensure that what is presented to that triangle at the top, it is worth it and it is credible, and there are no doubts of such information presented. The next slide then talks to the combined level of assurance in governance. And I must say, I'm not referring to basic education here, I'm referring to government as much. The slide looks easy, but it's very simple to understand. We have stated that the fundamental foundation, management assurance, oversight and legislative risk and legal assurance and audit assurance. And at the bottom, at the very last three columns of the slide, we have limited level of assurance, which is yellow, substantially meets required level of assurance and provides significantly lower assurance than it is required. And we are saying in government, for all three activities, for all three activities, looking at fundamental foundation, management assurance, oversight and legislative risk and legal assurance and audit assurance, we do not get the expected level of assurance. And it's as a result of the skills, the middle three of us under each column at the top, talks to the activities within that level. If you look at management assurance, we're talking of senior management, we're talking of accounting office and the accounting authority and the executive authority looking at the MCC and EXCO. So we are seeing as a result of have skills or processes that goes wrong within our entities, we are not at the point where we are seeing the form of assurance we're getting from this is at a point where we are satisfied and we can place reliance on. And again, I qualify, I'm not referring to DBE, I'm referring to government. In most cases, and it is also evident from the nature of audit findings that are raised and the adjustments that have to be effected to the financial statement. And the view for such conclusion is, what could have gone wrong if it were not for the audit effort? Therefore, that has doubts on the integrity of information that is presented, and it is left to the audit process to identify and corrective actions taken. Chair, the presentation covered basically everything that is in the briefing note. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for that, sir. And when the members look at this presentation, just link it to the briefing notes that you received, because with each page, the auditor put down a number where you can find whatever you are looking for in the briefing notes. And when you look at agenda, you know when it comes to the audit outcome that you know what slide numbers they are, within a slide number they are, and then what page it is within the briefing notes. Is there any additions from anyone in your audit team, or was that the complete audit report?
Chair, no additions. That was the complete report to the portfolio committee.
Fine. Thank you for that. I'd like our members, because today it's not the department's day, so we're not asking department to say anything. It's just the AG. And what I'd like you to do is to question the AG on the AG's report. Thank you. Yes? Member? I'm looking. Fine. All right. I'll start here, Honourable Keener. Do you want to start first? I'm going to go last. Go last. All right. I'll start at the top end. Honourable Smart. Just switch on. I don't think you're on.
Chairperson, thank you. Let me thank the AG for the report. Once again, like last year, I really enjoyed the presentation. Chairperson, my first question, maybe it's for clarity, first of all. In the book, the AG report, which was part of the annual report, there is a figure which says an amount of 82,000 million, which is actually 82 billion then, if I... so I want clarity on that amount. I will give it to you now, Jen. 239, I think the AG needs to just to explain that figure there. And also maybe in detail give us an understanding what is happening there. Chair, I would like to say that, ask the question, and I will start by just giving a sort of substance before I put the question. First of all, I've noted the opinion on page 236. Then I've noted the basis of accounting on page 237, which the AG is explaining a sort of a dilemma that they have, in the sense that, as it is explained, that there is compliance framework versus presentation of financial statements which should be fair. And then looking at what we have seen throughout, you will see that your opinion is colored yellow, which is unqualified. I'm using the color scheme. And then, but when you present, you get red on the key focus areas. The key focus areas are red, 3 out of 5 red. And then also, portfolio audit outcomes and key control status, this is in this slide, the red arrows once again, and then on this slide, once again, red, with one yellow, which is stable. Chairperson, now the question is, whilst it's been explained and the limitations that the AG has, I still would like, and this is just from common sense, it's not from an expert as an AG or a chartered accountant, it's just from common sense. Whilst we have all these rates, they still, the department still get a way to receive an unqualified report. Why? That is the question. I must also conclude, Chairperson, by saying this. 1.2 billion rand in the RCD project has been underspent, and I've worked out that relates to 7% of the total budget, right? Now, that may be insignificant, but you see, a CD is connected directly to what is happening with our children, the suffering that they have. They do not have classrooms. And this is where the problem is. Insignificant in terms of the amount, but really, really, in terms of what should happen in the schools, this is where there's a big failure. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. Just one issue which I think relates to AG and not necessarily the department. When you engage the department on what is the cause of all of this, particularly in the pyramid, you do indicate that it's issues of skills, competency levels, ethics and integrity. On skills and competence in particular, which to me would relate to qualifications, would relate to professionalism and all of that, what do you find to be the problem? Is it lack of skills because the department has not hired people, there are vacancies there, and therefore issues of internal audit and providing of leadership in there has to be a problem? Or is it that people have been hired, but they don't have the requisite skills the department or its entities might have hired people who lack incompetence? Or how do you explain that part? You can just elaborate for us as to what is the picture. Exactly. Thanks.
I was reminding you of my son. I heard you think Honorable Boni is like Miss Wan. Thank you. Thank you. Mine, actually, Chairperson, allow me to thank them for this comprehensive report. And especially because this report, you don't ask, you know, sometimes they say, look at the green color and why you're having, you know what I mean, gray. So theirs is up to standard. I appreciate that. And my question is on partnership, not necessarily talking of a particular, like, we are talking about four entities here. And all my questions that I want to bring forth is on partnership, starting on your portfolio audit outcomes. It's on compliance. On compliance. You're saying that management, you gave us all those things, but also mentioned that, and I could, there was a governance issue as well, but I don't see it. I don't see it here. There was a governance. I don't know if I just got it on this particular side. That's why you mentioned all those things. You were a little bit worried about compliance, but then you said, and there was a governance issue as well, but it's not written in black and white. So that I want to check if that particular governance issue was not serious enough to be included here. And then the next one is on your slide. It's written page 13, from page 13, I think, of the book. You, a concern, because you're saying not things are not really going apart. We see the red, arrows going down. And you put it nicely saying things are not really going apart. And I'm checking if there is a thin line between a concern and things falling apart. So that we must be with you. We need to be at that level. Because once you put something red and you say things are not really falling apart, I don't understand. To me, red means danger. And unless if I don't understand, and this is say at last teacher question. I don't understand this audit, but I'm concerned that once it's red, to me it meant that more than half the class was failing while I was in the classroom. And the next one, and I think it's the last but one, your key focus area also. You talk of audit of predetermined opinion. To me, it's like 25 or rather a quarter good. Because all of them, if you put them together to make 100%, only Uma Lucy is doing well. So our DGE, the SAFE, and ELRC are not coming to the party. That's why I'm talking of partnership. Because if Uma Lucy is like 100% like we see, and the others are lacking, what is Uma Lucy doing to try to help the siblings? Because you need to move together. We can't have Mama Lucy, and Uma Lucy is like concluding because she comes with results and all those things. And all these that are feeding to that particular are not coming to the party, according to me, but it's the pen to make sure that they are there. And finally, on, I'll just show you this one. The last one. If management has challenges, to me, we have challenges that are not mentioned. Management. Because once you come right with management, my understanding is that all these other things will be, but it's like a question, unless I didn't understand you, where there are challenges, it's management. How do the other do without getting the guidance from management? And if I didn't understand you correctly, you'll update me. To me, it's like this is not up to the expectation. But then the challenge is with the management. And, you know, sometimes they say our help will come, because we go to church. Our help will come from Jehovah. This one, I'm checking where will their help come from. Is it from Ama Lucy? Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you, Chairperson. My questions are mostly to understand, and the first one is linked to, or to understand better. First one is linked to a question that my colleague Honourable Smart asked, and that was about the compliance with predetermined objectives. You write and you said that it cannot form part of your opinion, the compliance or non-compliance at this stage. When will it? My understanding is that we are moving towards that in terms of the AG's reporting. When will it form part of your actual opinion? Last year, Chairperson, we were presented with a slide, one of the slides that was presented, and it was linked very much, I think, to the pyramid, showed our oversight role in red. It showed that our oversight role was in jeopardy because because of the quality of information and the quality of monitoring, etc., that emanated from the department. Now, there isn't such a slide this year, and I'm interested as to whether you actually looked at that. It was a very interesting slide. I remember reacting very strongly, wondering whether you were auditing us and saying we weren't doing a very good job. With respect to predetermined objectives, I think you've mentioned 64%, if I recall correctly, 64% of the predetermined objectives of the of DBE were such that they couldn't be measured by DBE. So, and you know, if you look at ELRC, for example, their predetermined objectives are so vague that I don't believe they can even be measured. You can't say you're going to improve something, or about how much? How are you going to measure it? But all of these, so that's kind of an annual performance plan, obviously on which the annual report has been based. But an annual performance plan should be, or strategic plan, whatever you want to call it, should be based on Treasury guidelines as I understand it. How does that even get accepted? Why is it only at the end of the year when you do an annual report, when you do your audits, that you say, well, these objectives were not properly written because they couldn't be measured properly? That doesn't seem acceptable. Surely that should be done up front. And then, I just want to understand, I don't understand these tables, the progress on prior year commitments. Let me just use the first one as an example. It says regular monitoring of performance, financial administration, etc. Let's use that one. Effective utilization of internal audit. So you said that's a commitment, as I understand it, that DBE made. Did no other entity make a commitment? So UMOC didn't make that commitment, SAS didn't make that commitment, ELRC didn't make that. They must have. They've got to utilize internal audit. Won't you just explain us the table a bit more, because I don't understand it fully. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. Well, Chair, I need to check in terms of the risk management in the public sector in terms of the analysis of the auditor general there, that in terms of your assurance, I just want to check whether these assurances are not supposed to align policies, because my view is that if they align with policies, therefore they should also be compliant in terms of the, of those risk management. Because in your slide 5, it shows that there is a challenge in terms of that risk management. And I was also trying to analyze whether on the previous years there was no, maybe, any risk management strategy or what happened. The other issue related to the compliance in terms of the PFMA and the SEM, that I've just taken notice that at a particular note, I think the department has convened the PFMA Section 51B. Is it P or A? I can't remember. I can't find it. I can't see it here. But I remember I saw it somewhere in the paper. And if it's Section 51A, it means they haven't submitted any receipts. And it simply means that they cannot be able to account in terms of their financial expense. And if it's B, it means, as you've just alluded, that they submitted their audit statement later. In other words, they're supposed to submit 2 months in advance so that all the documentation can be also submitted accordingly. I'm trying to check what other systems or strategies that are going to be able to push and assist the department and their entities so that they can be able to comply in terms of the law. Because if they don't comply, Section 84 and Section 85 gives the accounting authority a responsibility to make sure that they comply, and in making sure that, you know, it put other critical measures in making sure that people account. But also, I want to check that with yourselves, what is the advice that you're giving to probably the minister and the accounting office to look at this matter so that they can be able to comply in terms of the time frame that is expected. Because I've got this thinking that the department also, I mean, the auditor general liaise with the internal auditor. And the internal auditor, as they liaise, they must be able to advise the minister correctly so that they can be also compliant. I'm trying to check whether you have any other responsibility that you also take in terms of moving towards that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is general, it's almost general. It relates to audit opinion history. and also key focus areas. Because when I look at the, and I guess it's somehow related to what Honorable Khanem has asked, when I look at this audit of human history, ELRC, 5 years in succession, unqualified but with findings on predetermined objectives. DBE, the same except that the other year they didn't exist. And then if you go to key focus areas, and then you see the things of no improvement. And I'm asking myself, maybe there is a, where I come from when I audited, beside the audit report, there is a certain letter called management letter. Is it unreasonable, Honorable Chairperson, in the view of the AG's office, to share with us that letter? Because if we exercise oversight, we should be able to say, I mean, if there's no improvement, we should be saying to the entity, this thing was in the management letter, and you are not. For me, now, when you say no improvement, all what I know is that there is no improvement. Is it repeat, quote-unquote, offense, or are these new offenses? Somewhere the AG is talking to the department, for example. Somewhere the AG is talking to the ELRC to say in the management letter, please, these matters need your urgent attention. Could we have access to that kind of information so that you are able to also organize, but also to push and say, as we exercise oversight, these things need to improve. Thank you.
Complaining.
Thanks, Chairperson. I don't know what slide this is. It's not numbered, but it's on the portfolio audit outcomes and key control status. Under Department of Basic Education, I've seen that they've regressed under leadership, financial and performance management, and also under government. I just want clarity on this one. Whether does it mean the leadership cannot govern properly? That's why maybe there are financial issues, because it's indicating that they've regressed. And I've tried to compare with the briefing note on page 13. To me, I don't understand this. It doesn't... Yeah, it doesn't tally with us. If maybe I can get an explanation on that one. Thank you.
I know in this field the statement that being covered is not allowed, but I am.
Covered by Comrade by Honorable Ngoben. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I'll have a few. The first one, Chair, on page 13, percent. I think that one, for me, it gives us a very clear picture of what is happening in the Department of Education with all its the problems that are there. But it's a little bit of a one chain, as to say, there are provinces that are just standing where they are. We see no improvement, But I also believe, Chair, maybe my question would be, I believe internally, before we even go to the Auditor General, there are processes that are taking place. We do have internal audit and whatever. It's a big question because they're not questioning the department today. We're also only focusing on the Auditor General's report. But for me, that life leaves much to be desired because I think that's where we need to get a clarity from the department just to see what is happening in most of the things that we are seeing there. The recommendations that were there the previous years, what happened? I don't see any improvement. If not, what's the problem? And also maybe even from the Auditor General themselves, as to say, when they engage with the department after each and every report that they make, what is it? Yes, I see when it comes to the brief notes, there are reasons that are being raised, but some of them are repeating one and the same thing. I know this question has been asked just to say, are we saying somewhere, somehow, are we lacking the skill or are we lacking the will to commit ourselves as the department to say we want to move from what we are seeing there? Though, Chairperson, it's not all bad as it might, a person can think it is. For me, to see the Eastern Cape having moved from disclaimer to qualified, I think we are moving to a very good direction and that needs to be applauded. But I'm concerned, Chair, with Limpopo, disclaimer. I don't know whether we can qualify that disclaimer. I know it's again my disclaimer, but I would love to hear really is there anyhow that we can qualify that disclaimer to say the previous year it was a disclaimer, yes, but even this year it is a disclaimer, but it's a better, you know, it's a better disclaimer moving towards a certain good direction. If ever we can get that explanation when it comes back. There are so many reasons why I'm asking guys, you know. There are so many interventions that have gone that problem. And for us to see that data standing where it is, I think it raises a lot of confidence to say, Gandhi, what is it that we're doing when it comes to that point? Oh, what are these difficulties that really that nothing can move after so much interventions have been put when it comes to that problem. So, as I'm saying, we have got a lot of questions when it comes to this, but for me, for now, I think we have to reserve them to be with the department and also the entities that we have, because most of them, they go directly to them and we need to discuss it with the department. Thank you.
Thanks, Auditor General. I think before you answer these questions, the question that came up at first was the irregular expenditure. I know I had a session with the Auditor General, and they referred to the Mbula Trust. So I like that clarified in this meeting. That if that's irregular expenditure there, that's irregular expenditure. And don't shake your head while I'm speaking. I don't want you to shake your head. I think people have to listen. That we know exactly was it a Mvula, because that is part of a city. Then the other question that I would like to ask is, I'm going to the audit statement account. And this audit statement, like the Honourable Gina said, are questions that we are going to put to the department. That's why we have the department here today, but they're not going to answer because it's your day. And you have to answer us on things you can clarify us on, so that tomorrow we can take this very questioning further. When it comes to page 237, there you speak to the late finalization of the audit. It is correct what the Honourable Khadema says, that when you complete your books according to the PFMA, it has to be handed in within 2 months. Now I want to ask from you, if you got it written there, it meant that a request was made and you, if you were exceeded, you said yes to the request. Now I would like to know then why are you putting it, you know, within your report? Because God handed in within the 2 months, as you say. But then a request was made. So I think that you have to clarify for us that tomorrow when we speak to the department, we can pick up these issues again. And I'd like you to reply to everything that the member asks. I'm sure you can answer. And then tomorrow we'll hear again on these things. You know, because we are doing oversight. And at the same time, you oversight the department, and today we are oversighting you. You may answer, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Through the 82 million disclosed in the annual report is not intended to say 82 billion. I don't know how that occurred. It is 82 million, not 82,000 million, because it implies it is 82 billion. It is 82 million only. And talking to this 82 million, it also arose as a result of non-compliance with the PFA. It's a compliance PFA, Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act. Yes. It's a compliance issue also that we identified through the audit, which arose as a violation of FM supply chain management procurement processes. And it also I also agree it relates to the ACD infrastructure project. But it is different to the issue that the chair made reference to looking to Mvula. There were multiple issues that were raised on the area of procurement relating to ACID. The area that we are referring to of Mvula Trust is an area where we as the Auditor General and the Department had to engage National Treasury to resolve the matter, and that issue could only be resolved on the 31st of July, on the date we had to sign off on the audit report. Both the Auditor General and Treasury and the Department went to the National Treasury and said, unpack this regulation, the uncertainty. And Treasury clarified the issue that we thought from the audit office was irregular expenditure as a result of non-compliance with procurement regulations. I think our understanding and interpretation of that requirement was wrong from the audit office. Treasury accepted that it was uncertain, and going forward there will be processes put in place to make sure that, you know, there is no such confusion. But it was clarified by Treasury itself that, you know, this is how we need to be interpreting that. Therefore, that portion of irregular, that portion that we thought was irregular expenditure is not included in the 82 million. It could have been then close to 160 million irregular expenditure. Therefore, this is what is confirmed and confirmed as irregular expenditure, the 82 million. Yes. There were questions around the focus areas. We have read aerospace down, unqualified audit opinions, the color that is dominating in the sector outcomes is red, and there is 1.2 billion underspending on ACID also. And why are we expressing an audit report that is unqualified? And again, I'll just go to the basics to give context. The objective of auditing is to express an opinion on the fair presentation of the financial statement. And also as part of the audit process, it is fair that we afford management an opportunity to correct misstatements that are identified through the audit effort. So saying, I'm not saying there should be tendency on the audit effort to address these issues, but I'm saying it is the responsibility of management to ensure that financial statements are free from material misstatements. If it was not for the audit effort, things would have gone wrong. But because the audit effort allows, and the audit process allows, that if there are deficiencies identified and misstatements in the financial statements, management be afforded an opportunity to take corrective action to make sure that the balances are fair to state on the financial statements. Hence, we are not sitting with the qualification. As an example, If you look at the material assessments that are affected on the financial statements of the two entities that were affected, I think it would be ELRC and Basic Education Department. Had management refused and disagreed to the audit recommendations and not accepted assessments for the financial statements, that would have affected the audit opinion. But because we sat down with management, we took the audit findings, we engaged throughout the audit process, we reached consensus and management agreed that yes, these were misstatements and therefore we are taking corrective action. But in taking corrective actions, management also looks at the internal control process, saying where did we go wrong as a department. And therefore, let us look at gap to make sure that the particular findings does not occur. Therefore, we don't expect from the audit office that we should be raising the similar audit findings. But it is not within the audit office control again. It is the responsibility of management. We can only say, here's the audit finding. This is the root cause for the finding. Address the root cause and not the finding. Don't pass an assessment. Don't pass a general descriptive action. Correct the root cause. And close the gap in the internal control environment to make sure that the findings are not recur again. That's why we are sitting unqualified audit opinion. The reason the red color is dominating is the fact that these issues were not detected and prevented by the systems of internal control within these entities. They were identified through the audit effort. Therefore, at the time of the audit, these were significant control deficiencies that existed in the systems of internal control within the department and the AERC. Even though they corrected, they took corrective action to make sure that the financial statements, the audit opinion is not qualified. We leave it as threat to indicate that things were not right. You did not present financial statements that were free from material misstatements. There was a lot of effort coming from the audit process to make sure that your financial statements are corrected. Hence, we left it as threat. And we did not qualify the audit opinion because corrective action was taken. A question on pyramid of accountability. The question was around the issues of skills and competence, integrity qualifications and professionalism. Specifically to the department, and our assessment is informed by what transpired during the audit and the nature of the audit findings that we raised. And again, when I presented this pyramid of accountability, I qualify the saying we are not saying these things are happening at the department, but we are talking to government. But specifically now relating this to the department, I do not think the department has issues of unskilled personnel. I don't think they have issues of incompetent personnel. They are professionals. Therefore, the positions that they are holding, they have the right qualifications to execute their responsibilities. However, there were audit findings that were raised. And those audit findings, where there were material adjustments, were as a result of the disclosure notes. And there is no system in government, except for expenditure management, where you govern it through the income statement and the transfer systems to do that. The fastest look is, you know, where you run, you manage expenditure daily. There is no system that manages disclosure notes. It's a manual process. And therefore, we encourage, that's what I said when I presented this, we encourage the departments and the entities to make sure that they have manual processes that will make sure that there is credible disclosure notes reporting. It should not be one of those issues where disclosure notes are left for AN and at the end we start organizing the accruals. Things will fall through the cracks. We start looking at our commitments and other disclosure notes that are expected to be reported on the financial statements. If we move towards the culture, and this is what we have made roughly to the department, whereby all our disclosure notes, we collect them monthly, we report on this quarterly, we produce interim financial statements, we put the same audit report as if we are doing the final audit, and where there are gaps, the department addresses it. We should not be sitting with this. So it's a question of, it's not a question of skills, but it's a question of processes within the department. That's the result, material assessment to the financial statements. Yes, there were challenges on ACD. ACD is no money to the department, where the department was expected to execute the responsibilities of infrastructure, which has never happened before in where the national department, you know, started implementing such infrastructure projects to an extent that they have done. But lessons were learned in the process. Again, we are not discharging the department from the responsibilities of ensuring that such a regular expense shouldn't have been incurred. Yes, they are responsible for making sure that processes are correct, the way lessons learned, and looking at the quality of the management response that were provided when presented the management report. If management sticks to it and makes sure that there is time implementation of management action plan, I don't think in the next time we'll be facing the similar challenges. I spoke to the government on the ELR. Yes. The question emanated from Deadline, because I mentioned that there was also a governance issue, but there is no governance written on the slide on compliance. The audit committee is a governance issue. Yes, the audit committee is a governance issue. That's why I presented the pyramid accountability. The three pyramids that are in between, I said, you know, these are governance structures, of which audit committee is one of them, and we have the audit committee there at the bottom. The concern that we had raised at the ELRC with the governance issue was the effectiveness of audit committee. But I must qualify it. There were two audit committees in there we audited. The term of the first audit committee came to an end, and the new audit committee was appointed. And the new audit committee was appointed late in the financial year. Therefore, this assessment does not necessarily relate to the new audit committee, but it relates to the audit committee that existed, because their term came to an end. We raised concern with the effectiveness of that audit committee, and it is from the audit view that they were not taking that responsibility. They should, or let me rather say, they could have taken that responsibility much better seriously. But management, we raised a concern with management, and management agreed with the audit view. Hence, when the term of the audit committee came to an end, a new audit committee was appointed. There was a correct reaction to address that. Red arrows facing down on basic education, on the three fundamentals of internal control, leadership, financial performance management, and governance. I want to put context to this, and thanks for the question. We are auditing the department as a whole, not individual components of the department. It is only fair also to give an outline of what transpired during the audit. Most of the audit findings that were raised in the prior year at the department were addressed. There was action plan by the department to address those audit findings. Most of the audit findings that were reported this year that nearly got things to go their own direction related to ASID, which is the new mandate to the department. Now, a compliance issue is a compliance issue. If you ask, was there an issue of compliance raised by the audit, I would say yes. Was there an issue of compliance raised in the prior year? I would say yes. But the nature of the finding emanates from a different direction. And again, we do not audit only a program for where ACD falls under. We audit the department. We audit the initial statements of the department. If I was to express an opinion on different components or programs of the department, I would say this is only a program on a particular program of the department. But we express an opinion on full financial statements of the department. Hence, the three arrows are facing down on the department. It is not a similar issue, even though it is compliance and irregular action issue. It emanates from a different edge. But it is still non-compliance issues. There were issues of leadership, financial performance management, and governance issues that could have been dealt with better by the department. But I'll qualify again. There are action plans put by the department in place to address these issues. I don't expect to see them next year if the department timelessly acts to that action plan. Focus areas, what is Somalia doing better? Why are you sitting on the green yet that the rest of the entities have issues? Shouldn't they be modeling what they do to add siblings within the portfolio? One thing we noted with Umalusi, I must qualify Umalusi and face Section 4.3 audit. Section 4.3, I'm referring to Section 4.3 of the Public Audit Act. These are the audits that the Auditor General opted not to perform. They appointed their own auditors that are the audit. But we do engage with these entities because they are within the portfolio of education to understand what the issues are. We review that for us to make sure that we are on the same page as far as reporting in public sector is concerned. These are policies that UMADUSI has. the follow-up of audit findings, the effort that is put by management, the accountability, holding relevant management accountable for their actions, for their area of responsibility, that made sure that Umalusi is sitting on a green. You will recall last day, Umalusi, when we presented the outcomes, they had a finding on pre-terminal of service, OOPO, where things went wrong. And when we engaged Umalusi, they committed to make sure that they will not wait for the next audit cycle, but they will start immediately to address the problem, the control efficiency on that particular area. And this is what exactly happened. Thus, they are sitting on a green area. I don't know whether there is, you know, inter-entity meeting within this portfolio whereby there are experiences shared, but we encourage that, and we understand the question, we encourage that Umalusi has engaged the siblings there to enrich them and explain how they get it right. It shouldn't be rocket science. These things, if we have action plans and we have solutions that are sustainable, it is doable. If we can make recommendations to it, therefore it is doable if we implement the recommendations. But in most cases, the challenges become the implementation of the recommendation. If we implement a recommendation, and when we raise our findings and not wait for the next reporting cycle, we might find ourselves in a position where we say, when the audit finding or when the audit report was issued, there were other things that went wrong up to a point where the audit report was issued, but subsequent to that, there were no other issues. But by then, we are already 4 or 6 months into the new financial year, or there will possibly be non-compliance issues that are reported up to a point where we issue the audit report. But as and when you react, immediately when we issue audit findings, you stand a better chance of ensuring that there are no recurrence of such deficiencies and audit findings reported. There was a question on the assurance model. Specifically talking to management, saying management is not given the required level of assurance. And if management targets is right, what are we then doing? And I also want to qualify again, when I presented this slide, I was talking to government and not the department as such, but I will relate the question to the department. We are saying it could not be intentional against a process issue, and it's not the skills and competence. It's a process issue which requires management attention to make sure that whatever is reported is credible and there is the right level of assurance that is provided by information that is presented to the executive and all other oversight structures. And we are saying if the department gets the processes correct and the ALRC, we should tender it in the case of the department to agree. But this slide talks general to government, and the assessment is on the basis that there were material assessments in most cases to information that is reported, either being financial information or economic information. And if such information is presented for audit, we are saying what could have gone wrong if this information did not go through the audit process. Therefore, it wouldn't have been credible and accurate reporting. Hence, we are saying the assurance that is provided at that level is not correct in the sense that management is charged with the responsibility to make sure that the processes are correct. So let us understand the slide in that context. When will you be reporting on predetermined objectives? Honest really is we don't know. We have performed an audit from the Obiter General. That audit will include the readiness of the government to report on its performance. We are at the point where the report is in the quality control and finalization stage, and it will be made a public report. But the red flags that were indicated by that report, and not talking to basic education, I'm talking to the audit that was performed. It was performed in a number of departments and in different spheres of government. The view was that the processes are of such that most of our entities may receive negative conclusions on predetermined objectives. So it is one thing that will be decided once the readiness report has been tabled. At the moment, I don't know when we'll be expressing an opinion on it. Predetermined objectives, 64% of the targets that we reported on. We selected 3 programs within the department. And of those 3 programs, it's program 2, program 4, and 5. Program 1 and 3 were not audited. As you know, we audit on a sample basis, and program one, the reason we didn't select it is a support program, so we don't lay this as a service delivery program, but it supports all the other programs. We looked at the indicators that are within these three programs that we audited, and the audit concern emanated from the quality of the supporting documentation that we provided for audit. If we say we have 64% of the 64% of the indicators we have challenges with, that doesn't necessarily mean nothing was delivered for the 64%. But in the audit process, you need to back up what you provide for it with authentic verifiable documentation that talks directly to what they're reporting on the annual performance report. And the quality of the supporting documentation that was presented for audit, we are not satisfied with. And we agreed with the department on what constitutes acceptable form of audit evidence. And going forward, this is what the department needs to start planning for now to make sure that we don't run into such similar challenges. Progress made in prior years. Yes, and the question was, definitely these other entities made commitments. Why aren't we taking some commitments that were made? As an example, I indicated that Umalusi are finding on treatment objectives, but you see we didn't map Umalusi here. And one would have thought perhaps we should have included a commitment that was made by Umalusi market as an X and say current status commitment achieved. Perhaps it could have been presented that way. Thus the question was raised. But if you go to the bottom slide, the very last note commitment, we say implementation of commitments made during the prior year that are still under implementation. And if you again go to the to this slide, we're talking of current status, we say in progress. It was such a decision that let us rather put those commitments that were made in the prior year that were not fully achieved that are still in progress, but I take the view that we should have included all of them, but we didn't do that. Going forward, we'll just give a complete picture of this. It was an oversight. I accepted. There was a question on risk management, aligning policies with procedures and risk management, comparison of the current and basically looking at risk management, what we reported on risk management in the current year and the prior year. In the prior year, our reporting on risk management is slightly different in a sense that we acknowledge and accept that the department did perform a risk assessment, but that risk assessment did not cover all the activities of the department, and specifically looking at RCD here. The audit view was that we discussed it and agreed to that with the department. If we have a program that carries 2 billion, your risk assessment cannot omit that program. And then again, we understand why that happened. The risk assessment was concluded prior to the department charged with the responsibility to deliver on a city. What should have happened was to revise our risk assessment to the department and make sure that it covers all activities and programs of the department. Even though there are some processes that are in place in terms of policies to try and assist in managing a city, we are not saying it's a management of a company, we're saying the quality of the audit findings that were raised, if a risk assessment, a proper risk assessment was made to look at all the risks and the related responding controls for those risks, perhaps things could have turned out better. So there was that oversight in such that the risk assessment of the department did not cover all activities of the department, and in particular in this case, we're referring to ASIDI. In the prior year, we reported that the risk assessment was not finalized. In this year, yes, we admit it was finalized, but it did not cover all important activities of the department. How are we assisting DBE to comply? What advice do we give to the minister and internal audit? We have quarterly engagements with the minister. We have monthly, and as and when time allows or need arises, we all have meetings with the department where we discuss audit findings. Immediately when we identify the audit finding, we call management, we raise an audit finding saying, verify the factual correctness of this audit finding. When management agrees with the audit finding, we say, okay, now, what are you doing to address this particular audit finding? And as part of the process, we also issue critical audit recommendations saying, from the audit office, this is what we recommend you to address this problem. And addressing this problem, you are not addressing the audit fund, you are addressing the root cause so that the problem does not recur. That way, it is sustainable in such that the root cause, the gap is closed in the internal control processes, and therefore it is expected that the finding will not recur. At our quarterly engagement with the minister, we also present the dashboard report talking to the fundamentals that we spoke to, leadership of financial performance management and governance, telling the minister exactly what went wrong in the process, what is the current state of affairs within the department and also the provinces, all nine provinces. And we also give recommendations saying this is what needs to be done to make sure that these issues are addressed. And we show all this information that we present to the minister, to management and internal audit, with the view that going forward, the internal audit plan will also cover the audit area as extensively as we do from the Auditor General. As an example, the extent to which we audit performance information is one thing that we take seriously. We engage the department and the audit committee even attest to the fact that internal audit needs to be reviewing its scope of work to make sure that performance information, because it's one of the worrying areas within the department, is audited as extensive as we do, and where we can, we also work jointly with the internal audit to make sure that we address these issues. The audit opinion history, the key focus areas, and whether we can provide the management report to the portfolio committee. We, in terms of audit engagement and the processes, we provide the management report to the executive authority and to management director general. It is addressed to them. We share the management report with the audit committee. If management report is requested, it can be requested from the department itself, not from the audit office. From the audit office, our responsibility is to share the audit outcomes at high level on what is a public document, the audit report, because it is published in the performance report of the on the department. And anything that is not a public information can be requested directly from the department and not from the audit office.
Could I perhaps ask a question? Is it not supposed to be part of the annual report? Is it the management report or management letter?
No, Chair, the management letter is not part of the annual report. Only the audit report is part of the annual report. But the management report informs the audit report. Any significant matter from the audit perspective, we are of the view that it is worth mentioning in the audit report should be public information. We elevate it to the audit report, which we know will be published in the department annual report. There was a question on the regress, the red arrows facing down. I think I covered that question when I responded. The sector outcome, that slide that showed all the provinces with the red colors. Yes, that slide. Whether it doesn't tally to the reason note. We believe it ties in a sense that all the red domination in this. This is a sum up. It's a high level overview. It's a sum up of what went wrong in the internal control processes, leadership, financial performance management, and governance. If there were any greens in those, this picture wouldn't be sitting at this. But you can't relate it to because this talks to the complete sector, and what we had on the fundamentals of internal control speaks only to the four entities, national department and the three entities reporting to the national department. Now, if you want to relate that light to those fundamentals of internal control, you only need to look at national department and relate it to those slides. Otherwise, yes, I agree, there is a mismatch when you look at this versus what we presented on the other slide. But the intention of this slide was to give an overview of the sector, but we'll talk through the fundamentals of internal control in depth for all these entities, the nine provinces and the national department when we present the sector report later. Why is Limpopo doing bad? Can I put context to that, even though they're sitting on disclaimers? It is unfortunate that the audit opinion is still a disclaimer, but the number of qualification factors have reduced. They are in the right direction. In the prior year, there were numerous qualification paragraphs, which in all aggregately warranted a disclaimer. Even the current quality of the audit finding warranted a disclaimer. But in terms of the number of qualification paragraphs given rise to a disclaimer, we see an improvement. There are areas that were reported in the prior year that were addressed by management. But unfortunately, there are not at the point where, you know, management effort could remedy the situation and be exempted from a disclaimer.
So when you look at this disclaimer, can you call it an improve? Just a better one. Because if you were the Eastern Cape, there was an improved disclaimer because they started getting this paper trail. Now you're speaking about qualifications. So they are on the way to remedy themselves.
It is correct, Chair. It is an improved disclaimer.
Something, because if something I want to speak to, Mr. Patel was for Tasha and you and Shine, because that was worrying me the whole time. And tonight, the Lord would never have forgiven him for being harsh on you. You know, because Allah was putting it in my head the whole time. There's just a question here on this. Like, when it comes to the qualified report of the Eastern Cape, we're very happy. You're showing an upward trend. But, you know, I'm looking at the others where you show the yellow. But when it comes to Gauteng also had an unqualified report with no findings. And now, you know, to me it's like a contradiction. You know, you say it remains there. You should have said put a star there next to Gauteng. All right?
It's with findings. It's with findings.
Honorable Lovemore, I am going to rule you out of order, and I'm not going to entertain that, what you offered me, because I know you're playing the fool now with me. But you know, I looked at even like Malusi. You know, they're good, but you have that yellow. I don't want Malusi to come next week and they try to us. So Honorable Takobo, you have to know what you're saying to Malusi on Tuesday, because they cry when they listen to this committee. Continue.
Is the office of the AG not supposed to be sitting in the audit committees of this entity? Because listening to most of the problems emanate from lack of proper internal controls. Am I mistaken to say the office of the AG is entitled and should be sitting in these audit committees?
Thank you. I think it also relates to what the Honourable Member just said. You know, the presenter indicated that if the department would act on the findings as and when they are discovered, at least they wouldn't be having so many issues, and that is correct. But my understanding is that there's an internal audit team. What is it doing inside? Because it's supposed to find these things before they're discovered by the AG. So if they find them early, at least the department will be able to act on them before an annual report is presented to the AG and more findings are discovered.
Yeah. I think what we should do with that question, let us shelve it for tomorrow. And let the internal audit speak to us themselves on it. You know, about the way they see things. You may continue, sir, because there's two questions you don't need to answer.
Thanks, sir. Chair, we we do form part of audit committee. We are invited to all audit committee meetings of the department and its entities, and we share the audit concerns with the audit committees, and then later the recommendation on management reports are tabled at the audit committee. We share with the audit committee our recommendations. Even the audit report is shared with the audit committee. And time and again, when the department presents information to the audit committee, as well, you know, there would be questions posed to us to get the audit view, and we would share our insight with the audit committees as well. If you look at this particular slide, the first item at the top is effective utilization of internal audit. It indicated earlier that there was a need to relook at the scope of internal audit to make sure that all the other work that the AG is doing, if it's not included in their scope of work, they need to be looking at the internal audit plan to make sure that their scope is aligned to what really matters and the area that the department is really dealing with. Those were the last two questions here, but let me go back to the questions that were raised earlier. Late finalization of the audit. Why did we put it on the report? I want us to understand that paragraph in context to that. The financial year, yes, it was 31st of March. The audit report was presented for audit on the 31st of May. That did happen. There was no non-compliance there. We were expected to issue the audit report on the 31st of July to the department, which didn't happen. And on the 31st of July, there was a request for extension coming from the department. We considered the significance of that and what is intended with that request. We agreed to an extension with the department to correct what had to be corrected on the initial statement to make sure that we have the opinion that we have. And our agreement to the extension was on the view that these are issues that management could correct. No correctable. Hence, they were able to put effort. I agree, it was late in the audit process that management put effort to that. It could have been done timely, but it was doable. We agreed with the extension because it could change the circumstances then. But because now the audit report is legislated, it had to be issued on the 31st of July, but that audit report of basic education was issued under them in September. That implies that the audit report is non-compliance with the HFNA. Now, I need to explain why the audit report is also non-compliant with the paper. Otherwise, if the audit report was silent on that, it would create the impression that also the AG don't comply with laws and regulations. Therefore, we are putting context to the fact that, yes, the audit report is late, it's standing September as opposed to end of July, but the reason is that the department requested extension to correct some of the material adjustments that had to be effected from the financial statement. And that forms part of the material adjustments I was referring to in the financial statement. I think I covered all the questions. I'm not sure if there's any particular question I can address adequately.
I think what is important, because tomorrow we are meeting the department, that certain questions that came up in this meeting, we will let the department also speak to it. And I think when it comes to the internal audit committees, their roles and responsibilities comes from, besides the PFMA, Treasury regulations. So I don't think it is as simple as you are put it as the Auditor General. So that your question tomorrow will be, answered. We'll bring it up again by the internal audit because there's much more things they're doing. I'm just saying follow-ups quickly. Follow-ups. Alright. I'll just look at Uncle Smart. I just make it one easy.